It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change. In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words, "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life." Responded. And now, over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. Yes, it is, and it's coming now, it's coming now.
Gentry.
Hi there, this is Michael Trombone filling in for Dale Gentry today on this Saturday, and a very good morning or good day or good evening depending when you are tuning in to you here at BPN Radio. Later there will be an interview with Pastor Jeff Kenny from California. Exciting interview. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about it in a minute. And Dale should be back with us tomorrow. He has got a very poor voice, so your prayers will be and are appreciated to help Dale to get over this voice thing, to go back to normal. Okay, you're listening to BPN Radio, and it's great to be with you and to spend a little bit of time with you here on BPN Radio. If you will, please join me in prayer. Lord, we want to pray for this day, for this Saturday. We pray that that you come into our lives, that you will take the highest point in our lives, that our focus will be on you. Lord, that we will take comfort and courage in you. Lord, I pray, Father, for our listeners on this day, that Lord, you will give them peace and rest on this weekend, a deep peace, the peace of God in their lives. Lord, I pray that, Lord, especially those, Lord, who are facing hard times and who are going through a rough patch in their lives, that your nearness, your closeness will be there distinctly. That people will just get a sense of your hand holding them right now. I pray, Lord, for your guidance. Help us to put your kingdom first. That your will be done as it is in heaven, so on earth, so on our lives as well. Lord, that we will hallow your name, that we will bring glory to your name through our lives, through our words, through our thinking, through our worship, and through our prayer. Help us in our weaknesses, so that you will be strong where we are weak, and that your life will shine out of our lives. Lord, we pray for the United States. We pray for the government. We pray, Lord, that you will control what is happening in government. That you will stop people where they need to be stopped. That you will encourage leaders where they need to be encouraged. We pray, Lord, for people in power, Lord, that you will guide them, that you will give them wisdom, that you will give them knowledge, and that they will respond to your word. We pray, Lord, that they will be good stewards of the power you've given them. Lord, we pray for the United States, that you will put your divine protection over the nation, that evil will not dominate, that evil will not conquer, but that your grace, your love, and your word will dominate this nation. Lord, we pray for Europe as well, Lord, and we ask you, Lord, for your grace to be manifest in Europe, in Asia, in Australia, in South America, in North America, in Africa. Bless Africa as well, Lord. We pray for the Middle East, and we pray that you will encourage our brothers and sisters who are suffering greatly. We pray for a revival in ISIS land, that people will hear about Jesus, and that they will come to you, that they will surrender to the Son of the living God, to the Messiah, to Mashiach. Lord, we pray, Lord, for us as well. Help us in our lives. Help us to focus on yourself, to put you first, to love you with all our hearts, with our mind, with everything we are, everything we have, and everything we will be. Amen. I just want to mention a few things about prayer. I've once heard that Weissman said that nothing happens here on earth without prayer. At least nothing good. There's a force in prayer, and it's sometimes amazing. I want to encourage you, you know, if you don't believe me, write down for the things you pray. And then once a month, look at how many of those things got answered. Maybe not necessarily in the way you expected them to be answered. Because God's ways are higher than our ways, as the heavens are higher than the earth. And according to Romans 8:28, we know that all things put in our life will work together for good to those loved by God. And I want to encourage you to just take this a little bit to heart and to take prayer seriously. Also, at BPN Radio, we pray for the nation. We pray for America. We pray for other nations as well. We pray for individuals. We pray for, you know, where problems are. And we know that prayer makes a difference. And as we join together as a force praying for America, the designs of evil people will not succeed. Those who plot against the Lord will be thwarted. Psalm it talks about it, that God laughs at them. You know, those who plot against the Lord, He laughs at them. And I know that there are a lot of forces in this world right now who are going very much against God's statutes, against God's ways. But there's a very bizarre way of conquering these forces. It's not through a battle using weapons of dust made from the dust of the ground, but it's through a spiritual weapon, and that weapon is prayer. At BPN Radio, the vision is for 1,000 prayer leaders in the country who join in this force. Pick up every now and then, you know, once a week, some prayer requests for the country, for the nation. And then just join together with other people and pray about it. And you can do this on Facebook. We're in the internet age. You know, if you're living a busy life like most of us, just set an hour apart a week. Not even an hour. 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And join up with a few friends. And meet on Skype. Meet on Facebook. Do it via email, you know, or via the phone, you know, just phone one another and just pray about these things. And then maybe just join up, have a little bit of fellowship, you know, see how your friends are doing, pray for them as well, and pray for one another and make a difference in people's lives. Make a difference not just in people's lives, but in the life of the nation, of this nation, the United States of America. And the world, Europe as well. Okay, I've got a few minutes, and Dale has asked me to talk to you a little bit about statistics. I had a quick look at what was happening over the months of May, and I want to share a little bit with you. First of all, I want to welcome the nation of Brazil. We have noticed that a lot of you guys out there in Brazil, maybe you're listening right now, you've tuned in and you're joining us. You're joining praying for America, and let me extend the praying for America to not just a country but to a continent. And it would be great to hear from you guys in Brazil what's happening, what God is doing in your country. The information which is coming through is absolutely amazing. You know, a revival is taking place. The demographics of Brazil have changed from it being a Catholic country 20 odd years ago, then going a little bit secular, and now it's again a Christian country. But it's not just a Christian country. It's a country where people are not born into something, you know, through the flesh, but they are born spiritually into a new life, born again through the Holy Spirit. People making a decision, conscious decision, to follow Jesus and for Jesus to be the ruler of their lives. That is Brazil. 20 years ago, 5% of the people in Brazil were Christians or Bible-believing Christians. Now it's about 50%. So it's amazing stuff that's happening there. Churches have grown within 5-6 years from a couple of hundred to several thousand, some to 20,000 and more, in communities which only have got, you know, a few hundred thousand people living there. And we're just talking about one church, not just the whole, all the churches within that community. So it's amazing stuff, amazing stories coming from Brazil. So God is doing something great. So Brazilians, it's time for you to pray for us as well, because we need you to pray for Europe. We need you to pray for the United States of America. May even say we need you to come over to Europe to evangelize and to turn the hearts of the people back to God. And to US, to the USA as well, United States as well. Obviously, I'm not in America, so I can't speak for the United States, but I'm sure you would join me in the call for missionaries to come to turn back the heart of the United States, to turn it back to God, not just for one half of the nation, but for the other half as well. Okay, we have also had another exciting development. I'm not sure whether that's exciting, but we have noticed that last month in April, about 60% of you were listening to us via smartphone. Now it's 70%. So there's a distinct shift of usage, you know. And it sounds like a lot of you guys, you're listening to us whilst on the move, in the car, maybe at work with some earpieces. I don't know, but if you can and you've got 5 minutes, take some time out and, you know, email us at BPN Radio. Just go to the website. There's some contact forms. And just say hi. Let us know that you're listening and tell us how you're listening as well. Would be interesting to hear. And we haven't got much time. I've got a song I would like to play to you, and it's from a guy called Jason Hopton, and the song is called Fly. Not the little insect, but it's about flying, and it's not about flying an aeroplane, but it's to lift up your spirit, to touch heaven, and to take some time out, just for a moment, to just reach out to God. And let me tell you, sometimes it's this moment of tranquility when you reach out to heaven and when you just get a tiny sense of what heaven is like, of what our destiny is like in Jesus Christ. It makes all the difference to your day. And I would like you to just do this today. Maybe now, maybe once you hear the song, just fly in your spirit, fly up to the sky, to God, and spend a moment with your Lord. Jason Hopton from Alexandria, Louisiana. Actually, he's not from there, but it was played there, here on BPN Radio.
New places, new places. places, new places, new places, new places, new revelation, new revelation, new perspective, aerial view.
Come to me.
like a bird in the air. You have escaped the snare. Like a bird in the air. You've escaped the snare. Like a bird in the air, you've escaped the snare of the enemy. You have been set free. 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 Nothing can ever hold you.
And we're going to carry on with Dale Gentry interviewing Jeff Kenny. You're listening to BPN Radio.
Okay, it's a delight to have with me here on BPN Radio one of my spiritual sons, Jeff Kenny. And Jeff is the pastor of New Hope Church in Concord, California. And it's a delight to have you on the broadcast today, Jeff, Pastor Jeff Kenny.
So good to be with you, Papa. Looking forward to spending some time with you here today.
All right. It's good to have you on the broadcast, and it's been a pleasure and a privilege to know you since 1986. That's a long time ago
that we
met. And you have an incredible story of your own, but today I want to talk to you about your new book called Hope Beyond the Wreckage, Real Stories from Concord, California. It's a brand new book, and it has stories, true life stories, real stories of people in your congregation. Is that correct?
That is correct. And this is just one of the most incredible concepts for evangelism that I've ever, ever heard of in the 40 years that I've known the Lord. Of course, I came into this church in 1975 through a bus ministry. And the guy who introduced us to the Lord was quite a soul winner. He had only been saved for 3 years, but he was out bringing in drug addicts and prostitutes and sending people to Teen Challenge and just trying to help save the whole world. And I'm glad he came to save God used him to help save our family out of a real mess. But this book is a book really that's designed not only to share the story with people in-house, but more importantly, the book was written with a real edge to it, a real contemporary edge, so that it would attract people that are unchurched. And we tell the story. In fact, there's not a mention of Jesus for the first three quarters of chapter one, because we want to introduce people to a crisis in the life of the storyteller. And then once the reader is engaged, then we let them know who the hero is. And of course, the hero in every chapter is Jesus and how he saved them, and that they discovered hope beyond their personal record. So what we're doing, Papa, is we've already had people sign up and actually give debit cards, check routing numbers, and we are sending between 500 and 600 books every single month into our community. And then we have prayer teams go out, circle those 500 homes, 500 to 600 homes in prayer. And we are just believing over the next 2 years that we can send out 20,000 books free. these are free to the people that live in those homes, and we want them to hear the story that Jesus can really change a life.
Yeah, reaching your city, and I really believe that is a key. And I like the dedicatory remarks you had on the new book, Hope Beyond the Wreckage. You said this book is dedicated to all who feel hopeless, trapped, destroyed, addicted, or abandoned. No matter the cause of your suffering, the pain of a tragic loss, divorce, rejection, bankruptcy, debilitating medical conditions, we believe you can discover hope. Hope beyond the wreckage. You know, people's lives are a mess today, aren't they? It's amazing.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. I mean, every one of these stories is very unique and different. The publisher, the gentleman who created this, he's an evangelist, has been for 25 years. And he told me, he said they've written over 100 books already, and they have dozens of churches signed up to do these books this year. And he's been doing it for a decade. He can't believe the phenomenal growth that is taking place with this ministry. And he shared with me, he said, you really raised the bar for Good Catch Publishing. He said, boy, every story is unique and it's different. And that's one of the beautiful things about this book is, you know, there are just seven very, very different stories. And we're finding that whether you're being smuggled out of a communist country like Doina was out of Romania, or whether you're being beat by a stepfather, or whether the SWAT team is surrounding you and they're going to take you out, or whether you were arrested, the top law enforcement person in all of our county, the head of the drug task force who was arrested for selling drugs back into the community, no matter where you were, whatever place you are in life, there's hope for you when you've destroyed yourself and the world and the devil has destroyed you. Beyond that wreckage, there really, really is hope. And that's what every story in this book is sharing.
And there's so many people that feel like that their lives are such a mess and so many tragic things have happened to them. Many times they just come to a place where they feel like there is no hope. But I know that this book, and of course, this book, I know, does not just come out of a few stories. I've been ministering for many years there at New Hope in Concord, which, by the way, is in the Bay Area near Oakland. And I just know that in your congregation, there are so many people that do find hope, because I know that you guys love people, you welcome people, you reach out to people. And I know that you, in the book, you tell seven stories, but I know there's many, many stories that could be told. And I've just seen the acceptance and the love and the embracing that you, as the leader of the church and your leaders and other people in the congregation have experienced. And you have created this atmosphere that has, of course, has laid the foundation for this wonderful book, Seven Stories of People's Lives. And it's really a book of hope. And I'm just so thankful that you are distributing this to your city. And I know that Satan desires to take one city at a time in America, but in the Bay Area, which I know is being targeted by satanic forces, I mean, you have declared that Satan can't have your city, and what an awesome evangelism tool this is.
Yeah. Well, the Bible tells us that they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and also by the word of their testimony. Yeah. And so this is an incredible act of warfare. I mean, this is an assault on the devil and the demonic strongholds right here in the Bay Area. And they warned us. They said, now you need to have your intercessors really circle these storytellers in prayer. And I can tell you that every single storyteller was severely attacked. In fact, one of the storytellers are going through a divorce right now. The attack was so strong. But I will tell you that we know that we're overcomers, and we're going to overcome as we share our testimonies. So we know that we're right in the middle of a war zone, and we declared a 40-day fasting and prayer with our congregation to start this year. And it was to ask God's protection over the storytellers, but also we just wanted to sow prayer seed in our city. And we're believing God for an incredible harvest. Years ago, we had a traditional name, a name that we had had for many, many years. Our church was known Full Gospel Church, then Full Gospel Church International when I changed it. But I sensed years ago that God wanted us to have a new name, a name that would identify really who we were, what we do in our city, and our spiritual DNA. And years ago, Papa, you prophesied, and you said 1 year, two or three different times, this is a house of hope. And that just rang in my ears. And as you left that year after our conference, I prayed, I fasted, and I asked God, show me, what is the name of this, of our church? I know it's got hope in it somehow. I don't know if we're going to call it the House of Hope, the Church of Hope, or what. One day, I still got my Sunday newspaper, and I got one newspaper a week, and I looked down, the caption on the front page said, New Hope. And I forget what the storyline was and what the story was about, but when I saw those words, they just jumped right off of that newspaper.
Wow.
And I knew that was our name, our new name.
Uh-huh.
And so I started to work to talk about the importance of changing a name. And when you look at name changes all throughout the scripture, a name change was always attached to a purpose. When Jacob became Israel, there was a purpose attached to that. He became the father of many nations. And you can just see all throughout the scripture, Paul went from being Saul to Paul. And that was an interesting name change because Saul was a common name for Jews. But when God sent him to reach not just the Jew, but the Gentile, when he went to Rome, Paulus was a very common name in Rome. And so he has this name change. He goes from Saul to Paul, and his assignment changed from reaching Jews to reaching Gentiles in the Roman world. And name changes are important all throughout the scripture. And so we knew that this change was important and significant. I say that to say God gave us a campaign. We called it the Got Hope campaign. Got Hope with a question mark, just like Got Milk.
Mm-hmm.
We put signs all over with a new website. And that year, in 5 months, we had over 8,000 hits on our website.
Wow.
And more than 500 people gave their hearts to Christ in those 4 or 5 months. As I preached a series, There's Hope for Your World. And so we are really a house of hope and a house of change. And New Hope is a great name for our church, but this book title, Hope Beyond the Wreckage, really tells just 7 stories, but they're fascinating. And the lives that are being impacted through the ministries of our church is absolutely awesome.
Wow. Well, I know it's a tremendous evangelism tool, and I know that many churches today are trying to determine how can we reach out to our city, our community, and I know that this is an awesome way to do it. And I know that all of this Jeff, comes out of your own life and what happened to you, and you shared just a little bit about your story, but I believe that these stories are coming out as a result of what happened to you and your brother, that you got on a bus, and I believe that you were tell a little bit about your story.
Yeah.
And then we'll share just a little bit about these other stories. You know, I've just heard the Holy Spirit say to me the past few months, you need to have people to be telling their story. You know, Job said, I wish somebody would tell my story. And so many people have a story to tell that can be so impacting and so revolutionary that other people's lives will be changed in ways that may not be changed by somebody just hearing a sermon, which I believe in the preaching of the word. But people sharing their story is so important. So I know that all of these stories came out of your story, and why don't you give a little bit about your story?
Well, it's interesting. I know last year, 2014, the beginning of the year, the Lord gave me that as our theme for the year. It was the year to tell the story. Wow. And to tell your story. And God's going to give you an incredible story to tell, and you're going to see victories and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I had no idea that at the end of that year, I would be writing a book and we would be telling our story in such a significant way to our city. And it was a prophetic word that we had no idea what the impact or the significance of that word at the beginning of 2014. But here we are a year later with a book in our hands, and we are sending that into thousands of homes this year. Wow. And but it was just about a mile and a half away from here that a man, he was a brand new baby Christian, 3 years old in the Lord, and he signed up to become one of the bus drivers. At that time, we had about 10 different bus routes that went out to our city and the surrounding cities and bused in children to bring them in for Sunday school and for children's church, and yeah. families would come in on that bus. Well, mm-hmm. he was about a mile away from our home, and the Holy Spirit told him he's on the wrong street. And he got back into his car, and he came. And I remember that day a neighbor across the street cussing him out, telling him to get out of here. I can remember him screaming. He was the neighbor. You know, every neighborhood's got one. He was the grumpy guy. He didn't like kids. He didn't like dogs. He didn't like strangers. He didn't like, you know, people knocking on doors.
Yeah.
And but this man was relentless. And he would later tell us that when he came to the other side of the street, came up to our home, he sensed the Holy Spirit saying, "This is the home that I have sent you to." And that day, my mother, we had been Catholic our whole lives, and my mom had gone to parochial schools. But that day, she had just suffered a nervous breakdown, and she had quite an alcohol problem. And one of her boyfriends broke up with her. It led her to a depression, her first bout with mental illness, and into a mental hospital. And when she came out, she went to the priest, actually the Monsignor, and he said to her, "You have sinned so greatly that God cannot forgive you today. You've got to go back for one more week and do penance and suffer for your sins." Well, 6 days later, on that Saturday, Ross came and knocked on our door. And my mom at that time had already had a few drinks. She thought he was a good looking man, and she invited him in. And, He was not there for what other men had come to the house for. He was there to give her Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he told her that she didn't have to wait until Monday morning to go see the priest, that God could forgive her right there. And he said that he shared how Jesus was her advocate, and that he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." And you don't have to wait for man. You don't have to wait for the priest. You don't have to wait for some man's prayer. You can pray right now and experience God's love and his forgiveness. And right there in our living room, my mother gave her heart to the Lord. And the next day, she was on that bus going to church.
Wow.
And it was 2 weeks later, she had watched a movie on the second coming of Christ. And she came home and she told my brother and I, she said, "If you don't get saved and give your life to Jesus, you're going to hell." Well, I was only 14, but I didn't want to go to hell. So that night, John and I, my identical twin, we had twin beds. And every night we would say our prayers, and we would just lay in bed, and I'd pray. And when I was done, John, I would say amen. And I'd wait for John to say amen. And then we'd talk and go to bed. But that night, we both got out of our bed and we knelt down and we gave our hearts to Christ. That was September 1975. And I've been here ever since. It was amazing. 20 years later to the month, I had become the senior pastor of this church in September of 1995. So you never know what miracle you're picking up. And today, we have vans that go out. We bring people in from multiple programs and halfway houses and the homeless shelter. And we bring teenagers in the middle of the week. And we still have a transportation ministry bringing people into this church. And we just don't know when we bring somebody in, who's the next pastor of our church. And it's exciting to know that God is still working in the lives of people right here in Concord.
I know. And, you know, I was so honored last year to be able to minister to the homeless people that were attending. They brought those people in, and when we went out there to have a meal with them after the service, they were giving us a standing ovation. They were cheering us as we were going down. We felt like celebrities. And it's just amazing how you guys have reached out to feed people and clothe people and bring them in and go out to where they're at. Mm. And, the compassion that you have for your city is just awesome. And I know that Jesus wept over his city. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, often what I've gathered you together. And I believe that you have tremendous compassion for your city. Growing up in that city, starting to attend the church on a bus, and eventually going off to Bible college and finishing Bible college and coming back there and eventually becoming the senior pastor of the church. And you just have an amazing testimony. But God has put that compassion. You know, I'm thankful for passion, but we must have compassion. And mm-hmm. The Bible said that Jesus had compassion. And now here you are winning out, reaching your city by having people in the church tell their stories. And it's a little bit raw stuff. I've been reading some of the stories, and it's just like, hey, this is not cloaked in a religious spirit. No. And this is people telling it like it is. And I know it's going to be a tremendous tool of evangelism. And I love this book, Hope Beyond the Wreckage, Real Stories from Concord, California. How could people that are listening to BPN Radio, how could they get a copy of this book? How could that happen?
Well, the easiest way is just to go to our website. And our website is getnewhope.net. That's GETNEWHOPE, getnewhope.net. And right there, there's a link that will take you to order it through our church bookstore, or you can call the church office, 925-682-5918, and we'll make sure that we get a book out to you.
No, that'll be fantastic. And what about pastors or leaders that are saying, we would like to do this in our community? Do you have some further information or anybody they could contact?
Yes. Yeah, they would want to contact Good Catch Publishing, and they are out of Beaverton, Oregon. And they do have a website as well, and that is www.goodcatchpublishing.com. And I'll tell you what, Darren and the entire team there are absolutely incredible. Darren is the evangelist that for 25 years he preached to churches in the Assemblies of God. And his son also works with him, and now they have devoted their time full time to this book. He's got a wife who's got a phenomenal job, and she's a great leader in her own right. And so he has been able to devote himself to this project, and I don't know how they published this book so cheap. I know that for 10 years he hasn't taken a salary, so he has really made this affordable for churches. It's amazing how my initial investment was only $3,500 to write this book.
Wow.
But that afforded us 700 free books. And what we did 2 weeks before our launch Sunday, we gave out 1,000 books to people. And then on our launch Sunday, we gave out about 1,000 books. And so people in our congregation received a free book. And then what they did is that day on launch Sunday, when Darren Lindley came to be with us, we actually had people sign up that day for more than 500 books that would be going out every single month. So it's really a great outreach and a great tool for pastors that want to do outreach in their city and get their stories out. Every church has incredible stories, and people, I mean, we did a survey before we selected the seven, and dozens of people turned in that survey to share their story. And so we just sense this is the first of about seven volumes. And we tell people, Papa, that they read the book, but then they can't keep it in their home. They have to give it away.
Yeah.
We found a book at a local hospital in the waiting room. Somebody had left it in a waiting room. Just a few weeks ago, we had gone up to our men's retreat. It's about 3 hours from here. And we went up and we rented a cabin for the men, a couple of cabins for the men. And in one of those cabins, we found one of our books in the basket, you know, with all the magazines and the books. Yeah. Somebody had already left their book up there 3 hours away from the church. And so we know that the Holy Spirit will strategically get this book into the hands of the people that need to read it, whether it's here in Concord or whether it's up there in Arnold. I've got a guy that he drives for Uber, and it's that new company. It's kind of like a taxi cab company. It's a .com company. Somebody goes online and they look for somebody to give them a ride. And so they just hire these guys that take your own car and you go and pick people up on through this particular .com company and a phone app. And he works out of the San Francisco Bay Area. And he came to me and he said, "Pastor, I tell my story every time somebody gets into my car." And already he has given dozens of these books away to some of the people that get into his car. And so we know that these books will get into the hands of people that come in from France and Italy and from, you know, other countries.
Yeah.
And we know that this book will have a global impact. And it's just awesome to see how God is using it now, but to also know we're putting seed in the ground, and there will be a harvest from this book and future books for quite some time.
Well, I can tell you're quite pumped about this, and I can understand, because it's people in your own congregation that's telling their stories. And what a God idea, and I believe that so many pastors could profit from this if they would just have people in their congregation that would write their stories down. Is that what you did? And they just turned the stories in. Is that correct? That's
correct. And what Darren has done, he has interviewed more than 1,500 writers, and those and he hired 40 of what he felt like were the top writers in the country. He's got a woman who does his graphic artwork and designs the cover of the book, and she is from the Smithsonian Institute. And he's got the editors are fantastic, and that he works with, and all of these writers. So what happens is you select your seven, and then for the next couple of weeks, the writer works with your storyteller. The storyteller fills out a questionnaire, and then they share their story in so many words. And then the storyteller calls them for an interview, and they interview them for 3 hours on the phone. So that storyteller, the writer, has already read the story from the storyteller. They've read the survey, the questionnaire. And from that, they have questions, and they want to fill in the holes, and they take all that information in that three-hour interview. And then for the next week, they go and they write the story. When they get that done, they send it back to the storyteller for them to preview and to tell them about anything that is not correct and make any changes. And then when all seven stories are done, then it comes to me in email form. And my wife and I, we took a three-day vacation. We went off to a timeshare and we read the book and cover to cover, and felt like there were minor changes that needed to be made, just minor changes, but it was pretty much ready to go at that point. And so that's kind of the process. It's really a simple process, but from start to finish, from the time you meet with him and sign the contract and give your first $500 or $1,000 deposit, it's 12 weeks when your book is completed. Yeah. So it's only a 12-week process from start to finish. That's, so it's amazing how how quickly this thing came together.
I know. Within 3 months, it was out. It's a very professional book. It's very it's excellent. So that it would be a tremendous tool of evangelism, but it's also easy to read. And it's very attractive, and I believe it's a great tool of evangelism. I would encourage other pastors or leaders to consider having your own book, using it as a tool of evangelism. And I believe that you have struck pay dirt here with this book, Hope Beyond the Wreckage. Once again, I want to give you Pastor Jeff Kinney and New Hope Church website. And you want to give that one more time?
Yeah, www.getnewhope.net.
Now, what I want us to do, I want us to pray for people that feel like that there is hope beyond the wreckage in their life. And I know that so many people just feel like there is no hope. That's why the suicide rate in America is escalating at unbelievable proportions, because people have lost hope. But I'm thankful there is hope, and we can get hope. And I just want you to pray for people, because I know you have great compassion, Jeff Kinney. Pray for people that may be listening to BPN Radio and they just feel like, man, there's just so many things happening in my life. So I just want you to pray right now, however the Holy Spirit leads you.
Father, what an honor it is just to be here with Papa, and for the love and the compassion that I know that he has for people. And we just partner together to pray for those that are listening today and they feel hopeless. And it could be that they're hopeless on their job, with their assignment. Some are listening today and they're hopeless even in their ministry calling and assignment. And others are hopeless because they're out of money and they just don't know what to do. And they turn in applications and they submit their resume and just nothing seems to be panning out. Some are in the middle of marriage problems and challenges and they just don't feel like there's hope for them. And so God, today we just agree together for those that are listening that feel hopeless and feel like there is no hope. We know from our own experience, we were hopeless. But there was hope beyond our wreckage. And there was hope beyond the wreckage that perhaps we didn't create, but mom and dad created, or someone else created. And so there are people right now that are hopeless because they're paraplegic, or they've been in some accident. They didn't cause that. It was created by a drunk driver, or it was created by somebody who was driving recklessly. So Lord, we just pray even now for those that are listening that you'll give them hope and you will strengthen them and you'll let them know that when you bring them up out of that miry pit, that one day they will tell their story and others will be changed and others will be encouraged and others, they will find the same strength and the same deliverance and the same hope that you gave to them in this season of their life. So God, we just know that you'll comfort us so that we can comfort others. You will deliver us so that others can be delivered out of the same bondage that we found ourselves in. And so today we just thank you for this time. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless this book and that it'll go out and it'll have an incredible impact in our city. We just stand in agreement with the hundreds of people that are praying even now for this book to have an incredible impact. And Lord, I pray that this book, like seed, now will multiply and other cities will be impacted, because somebody just heard about Good Catch Publishing and they're going to write a book for their city and other cities will be impacted. So I know, Lord, through even the seed of this program, this broadcast today, that other cities will be impacted. I thank you for my spiritual father, for Dale Gentry, and for the incredible assignment that you have given to him. I pray you bless him today. I pray that you'll bless Mama Jean, their entire family, Lord. Pray that you will seal our time together now by your Holy Spirit. I pray this in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jeff Kinney.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the Donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.